You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
I'm Father John Cusick, and I am the director of the Office of Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And our office is the outreach of our Catholic Church responsible to make our church present among and invite into fuller participation those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And thank you so much for tuning in today or uploading this on one of your iPod or MP3 players. Normally, on this once-a-month radio show hosted by the Young Adult Ministry Office, The Light Show, the one who's driving the bus is Dr. Kate DeVries, with whom I work in Young Adult Ministry, the co-director of Young Adult Ministry. Kate just finished her retreat last week and is taking some time off this week. And so she's given me the opportunity, the privilege, and the responsibility of going solo this morning. And I'm very, very happy to have this opportunity because I want to do something with a very special person today that I've wanted to do for the longest time. A little background before I introduce our very special guest today. One of the fascinating things about the world of young adults and young adult Catholics and young adult people looking for faith is that maybe for the first time in their adult life, in their 20s, sometimes late 20s, sometimes early 30s, curiosity about things Catholic, understanding some of the traditions of our faith, a hunger for a practicing spirituality becomes much more important than it might have been for years in their life. And they really, literally, they turn to the church looking for some direction, looking for some understanding, some wisdom about the tradition, how Catholics believe what we believe, how we got where we got, how does all of this stuff work in their lives and work in their world. I find that many of them are curious about learning how to pray more effectively. I've always said that the young adult years are some of the most spiritual years of people's lives. They look at me funny sometimes, but I think more things of significance happen to people in their 20s and 30s that have ever happened before. And when they begin to happen again, we can raise our hand and say, been there and done that. But this is the time in life when a summer romance can turn into a love that lasts forever. It's no longer a time for a part-time job, but all of a sudden we begin to talk careers. We're no longer looking at a one-year lease at a college apartment. All of a sudden in front of us is a mortgage for 30 years where our hand is shaking. We've never said 30 about anything. This is the time when a lot of bad news begins to hit. Grandparents, parents, siblings struggle with illness. We begin to realize that we're not immortal. I think when all of these things happen and many, many more, we lose jobs, we change careers, dissatisfaction in life, relationships come and go, our heart is broken. These are magnificent moments of life because we wonder, what's happening to me? What are the insights that is there something that can help me get through this? How do I understand what's happening? When I heard a young man say to me, oh my God, I'm falling in love. And all of a sudden, everything he saw in life began to look different. So these are wonderful years, and this is the grace that God has given me through our church in the Archdiocese of Chicago to work with these wonderful people. That is all a prelude because today we're going to take a wonderful journey with a magnificent priest who's one of the great heroes in my life and has been for many, many years, and that's Father Bill O'Shea. Good morning, Father O'Shea.
Good morning, John. Great to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're with us today. Father O'Shea was ordained for the Joliet Diocese in 1963, am I right? And for the last year, he has got that fancy title called Pastor Emeritus, something that it looks a lot of us in the eye in the years to come. But Bill was most recently, until his time of retirement, pastor of St. Margaret Mary in Naperville. But more than the pastoral things that Bill has done with his wonderful priesthood, he's a Chicago kid, grew up in Philip near Iowa. We'll get into that in a second. But Bill has always been in the Chicago area, both in his own Diocese of Joliet and certainly throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago and all the 38-plus years of my priesthood, really a theological whiz-bang. I've always looked to Bill for theological understanding. He's a scholar. He's a born teacher. In the world of young adult ministry, every summer he gives us 2 weeks. That would be 8 nights during Theology on Tap, to share the wisdom of our church. We've done a wonderful things together, and he's taught me greatly. And so this has been my dream, that Father O'Shea would be with us, and we're going to take a journey today on one of the amazing ways that the Catholic Church has been developed throughout history. And I think you're going to find it fascinating, because we are people who have got a number of convictions. We have a set way we worship, a set sense of our beliefs called our creed. We've got things, and yet we are organic. We keep moving and growing and developing as we get greater insights into who is Christ, how our church becomes the body of Christ in the world, and how we respond to the many situations in which we find ourselves. But Bill has also got another thing that I think is fascinating, and he had a foot in two different buckets. The great moniker for many of our lives was the events of the 1960s. Am I right, Bill?
Yes.
Second Vatican Council?
Second Vatican.
But you were ordained before then.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit, what was it like, your journey, from a young priest in 63 to perhaps where you are today?
John, I remember in Quigley in the early 50s, one of our professors, I think it was J.J. McMahon, said, "Boys, in your lifetime, the Mass is going to be in English." And we looked at him and said, "John, this can't possibly be true. I mean, Latin is the universal language. Wherever you go, the Mass is always the same." And yet a year and a half after I was ordained, all of a sudden, in the fall of 1964, there it was. I remember hearing confessions at the parish, and a portable altar was being set up, and just seeing that, having said Mass with my back to the people in the morning, and realizing tomorrow I'm going to be facing the people, it's going to be in English. It was hard to believe. And I think you probably had the same experience I've had, where the priests and the pastor were behind this change. The people went along. But you could go to a parish 10, 15 years later where they hadn't been prepared, and people were still resisting that.
Sure.
But I remember that first Our Father, when we all said it together, and I'm looking at them and they're looking at me. You know, at first, not the whole Mass was in English. It was still much in Latin, but that beginning was wonderful. The bishops kind of figured it out quickly that we want to get the whole thing.
I remember remembering that because it was the first Sunday of Advent,
yes.
I believe, in
yes.
1964.
Yes.
I was in philosophy at our major seminary at Mundelein, and I'll never forget kneeling in the house chapel and Father Fitzgerald coming down the aisle for the first time with that portable altar in front, and all of a sudden, there was inside of me personally, there was a nervousness. The unknown is risky.
Yes.
But there was a tremendous excitement. And when he came up, genuflected in front of the sanctuary, in front of the altar, walked around the altar, and kissed the altar to embrace the presence of Christ that's there, and began with the sign of the cross, I just said, "Oh, my God."
Yes.
It was a graced moment for many of us, because we lived on both sides of that.
Yes, having said Mass for a year and a half in the Latin, then that switch, It was wonderful.
Right. Those were just, and that was the very beginning for you then of this. You were a young priest.
Yes.
And I began a journey that has taken us to today. And needless to say, they've been interesting times.
Whether we like it or not.
Right. And what we want to do in just a moment when we come back from a break, we're going to begin that journey. And I want to, the word Vatican II came up because that's what triggered this change in liturgy. And I want to move us to this whole understanding of a council. Would that be fair?
Good idea.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back from break. You're listening to The Light Show. I'm Father John Cusick with our guest, Father Bill O'Shea from the Diocese of Joliet. And we'll be right back.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Ande vida, cuerpo del Señor.
Experience La Santa Misa Dominical, the Sacred Sunday Mass, televised every Sunday at 8 a.m. on the Azteca America Network, WOCK-TV, and its affiliate stations. Here's the director of the Archdiocesan Office for Hispanic Catholics, Father Claudio Diaz.
The Spanish-language televised Mass feels a hunger for the gospel message. It's delivered in the audience's native tongue and in their own cultural context. It's a beacon of hope for our Spanish-speaking faithful who find it difficult or impossible to attend Sunday Mass.
Your help is needed to keep the Spanish-language Mass on the air. Please send donations to Spanish Mass, Post Office Box 1979, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. That's Spanish Mass, Post Office Box 1979, Chicago, Illinois, 60611.
The televised Mass has been a tremendous outreach for the growing Latino population throughout the Chicago area. Thanks for your support to this important ministry, and may God bless you.
Welcome back to The Light Show. I'm Father John Cusick, and I'm very, very privileged this morning to have with us Father Bill O'Shea. Father O'Shea is a born teacher, scholar, a great theologian, wonderful pastor in the years he worked in the Diocese of Joliet, and now he leads the good life. He is retired, and I'm very happy to say that he also presides at Mass at Old St. Patrick's Church on Sunday. And I just was very, very thrilled that when Father O'Shea was retiring, that one of the priests at St. Pat's gave him a call and said, "Can you come and join us?"
I think that was you, John.
Was that me? No, I'm just a hired hand there. Father Tom Hurley is the pastor. I'm just I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of a guy. And we're talking a little bit today about how the church is formed and developed, and one of the things we mentioned is that Father O'Shea, for the first year and a half of his priesthood, celebrated Mass in the traditional Mass of the Church in Latin, and then on that very first Sunday of Advent in the year 1964, all of a sudden he is speaking a different language to the same people in a different style. And that was all brought about by what has been known as the Second Vatican Council. And it's interesting, Bill, that the Second Vatican Council now is ancient history for an awful lot of people.
Right.
Many of the young adults with whom I am privileged to work through the Office of Young Adult Ministry that sponsors this hour, this time of the month, they were born after Vatican II. So to say that the Second Vatican Council, in our church language, you could be talking about the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Trent, anything. It's just something around which it's not even a faint memory for them. It's a historical event. Yet for us, it was really life-changing.
It was, John.
In the way we developed. Now, Bill, it's been called an ecumenical council. Now, in common parlance, ecumenical has come to mean interfaith.
Yes, John.
If I have an ecumenical wedding, it could be a Lutheran Catholic wedding, a Jewish Catholic wedding, Presbyterian Baptist. But what you have taught me is that ecumenical had a much earlier definition used by the church as a way of defining a council, a gathering of church leaders. Am I correct?
Yes. You know, the English word economy comes from ecumenical. In that older usage, ecumenical meant worldwide.
Okay.
It was a gathering of all the Christian Catholic bishops of the world. It's the supreme teaching authority, and it always includes in its number the Bishop of Rome. Whenever a major decision needed to be made, how many sacraments are there? That's not in the Bible.
Right.
We say there are seven because of the Ecumenical Council of Trent. Which books are in the Bible? The Bible's not self-authorizing. Trent again said, these are the books that we accept. Earlier, is Jesus really divine? Is he the divine Son of God? Nicaea, 325.
Wow.
What about the Holy Spirit? Constantinople, 381. The creed that we say. The creed's not in the Bible. It comes to us from these ecumenical councils.
And so what they were doing, and as you said, it's the worldwide gathering of all the bishops.
All the bishops with the Pope in their midst.
The Pope being the Holy Father, comma, the Bishop of Rome,
yes.
Period. Yes. And so it's normally the Pope who calls the council,
yes.
Gathers the bishops literally from around the world, and they then look at the practices, the understandings of Catholicism, and begin to codify them, for lack of a better word. Would that have been historically?
Yes. But interestingly enough, at the Second Vatican Council, there was that other use of ecumenical, because the Pope invited observers from other religions. People like Karl Barth, Albert Outler, Robert McAfee Brown, they also were there at the council. They couldn't speak on the floor, but there were lots of seminars, lots of exchange. And so in one sense, that Second Vatican Council was ecumenical in both ways.
And so it was that thing that many of us have learned through our own theology and our theological education. It was the Catholic Church interfacing with the world in which it lived. So
yes.
It wasn't just a council about the church. It was a council with the church focusing itself on the world in which we lived.
Yeah, which brings us to why did this Pope call the council? You know, he had lived through...
Now, this Pope we're talking about, obviously, is John the
23rd. John the 23rd, yes.
Okay.
1958 to 1963, he was Pope. He had lived through two world wars. 12 million people died in those wars. He lived in the First World War. The cream of the young people in France, Germany, and Britain had died.
Wow.
And he felt, these are Christian countries. What isn't working about the gospel interfacing with the culture?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he felt we really need this council.
And interestingly, just as an aside, the current Pope, Pope Benedict, has also been influenced by those wars, particularly the Second World War, in which he was pretty much dragged into the German army for a very short amount of time.
That's right.
And he saw this horrible, horrific violation and destruction of human life, not just among those who were put in camps, but the millions of people who died fighting and died in bombings. And yet this was always called, Europe was the Christian continent or the...
Yes.
Yeah, something wasn't working.
So the Pope felt we need to really look at our structures, we need to look at our relationships with the world, and then make a difference.
Okay. So it wasn't just he had a crazy idea, let's call a council. Did the life experience that he brought to his papacy, the world in which he lived in Italy, and when he was the Cardinal Archbishop, I believe in Venice, wasn't he up in the north of Italy?
Yes,
I think
so.
John the 23rd.
Yes.
He brings all of that to Rome, and he calls the church together to take a look at what we are about.
And halfway through the first session, they met every fall from 62 to 65. he and Cardinal Sunens had a little conversation. And the conversation went, yes, we need renewal of the church. We need to reach out to other religions. But does our church have something to say to the larger issues in the world?
Okay.
The world of an arms race, the world of the lack of human rights, the world of economic justice.
Okay.
And so he said, it's not enough to renew the church internally. We need to speak to the world at large.
Wow. And that was pretty dramatic, I think, back then in those
days.
Yes,
it was.
Because in many ways, as many of us know, that the Holy Father sort of became a prisoner in the Vatican. He chose not to go outside, literally, physically, outside the walls of Vatican City. And it was almost, to me, as growing up as a little boy, was almost symbolic that we are contained. This is our church. And now he's saying, let's take a look at how not only we function, but how do we function in the world and what some of the issues. And I can't help but think that maybe in the back of his head, how do we stop the world from killing itself? How do we stop the hatred?
Yes.
We're going to, this is fascinating because this is an understanding that perhaps I'm remiss at understanding because we just think that this understanding of a council came from nowhere, and yet it came from the experience that so many priests and bishops and lay people had in their life filled with war and also with human possibility. So let's come back after a break, and we're going to keep examining this ecumenical council, the gathering of our church throughout the world.
September is Hunger Awareness Month, and Catholic Charities has many rewarding opportunities for you to get involved. Did you know that despite our community's abundant food, many families, including children, live in hunger? I'm Father Mike Boland of Catholic Charities, asking for your support. Organize a food drive at your parish or at your child's school. Walk in our 5th annual Mary Jane Murphy Memorial Hunger Walk on September 30th. Visit our website to make a $20 donation, and we'll send you an eco-friendly Catholic Charities reusable grocery sack. For more information, go to catholiccharities.net/hunger or call 312-655-7315. That's catholiccharities.net/hunger or 312-655-7315. Thank you for helping Catholic Charities in our fight against hunger.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George leads a group of Chicago area faithful on a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in France. We have highlights of that journey. World Youth Day is celebrated in Sydney, Australia, as well as here in Chicago at St. Hyacinth Basilica. We'll take you to both celebrations. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at Relevant Radio, bridging the gap between faith and everyday life.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Welcome back. I'm Father John Cusick, the Director of Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And once a month here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., we have an hour opportunity to speak about the issues that can be, should be, and are relevant to those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And the one we're focusing on today with my dear friend and special guest here on our light show is Father Bill O'Shea. We're focusing on ecumenical councils in general, and the Second Vatican Council in particular, because maybe, first of all, it's such an important thing in our church. And number two, personally, for Father O'Shea and for myself, it left its thumbprint on us. And it's our priesthood, and it's our church, and a very important part of it. But yet today, because life is moving so fast, Bill.
Yes,
it's really historical. I remember a number of years ago, I was invited up to the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern by Jim Bowman, who was working in the religion section of the Medill School of Journalism. And Northwestern invited together they put the invitation out to all religion writers from across the United States. And there was this large room full of people, and they invited three or four of us if we could put out there what we saw as some of the trends in religion, in the faith traditions out of which we came, and if we could lend any insights into religious writing in the near future. And the one that I shared was, I don't think that they were ready to hear. And I asked them if they would stop using Vatican II as the lens out of which to talk about everything Catholic. And the reason is that so many people now never lived through Vatican II. And so instead of using it as a whipping boy for what people don't like or the reason why we do things what we do, they needed to explain what this was.
Yes.
And to get some understanding of it, or else what we always do in any situation is we bring our own biases and prejudices, pro and con, into it. And so many times, how many times, folks, have you heard, said yourself perhaps, or have we read or heard in the media around us, well, Vatican II said, and did it really? What was it really all about? And we're trying to examine that. Now, Bill, you mentioned that every Vatican Council has its own thumbprint.
Yes.
There have been two Vatican Councils. Vatican Council I, obviously, and then this Vatican Council II in the 1960s. And every one of them has had its thumbprint. The Council of Trent, to which you alluded earlier, really was a reform council, codifying sacraments, establishing a more cultic priesthood, liturgy, a variety of things. The Council of Nicaea, way back after the persecutions of Christianity were lifted in that 4th century in the 300s, it basically established a creed. And to this day, when we gather as God's people at worship on Sunday, and we as the presiders invite people, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, that is the Nicene Creed, which came from the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, and that's coming up 700 years,
1700 yes.
years ago. What were the hallmarks of the Second Vatican Council?
I would put it this way, that before the council, we saw the church as pretty much self-contained. What we began to realize through the teaching of the council is that God is present and active in all of human life, which is really the point of the parables of Jesus, and that the activity of God in the church is the visible manifestation of what's always and everywhere going on in the larger world.
Sure.
And so in our liturgy, liturgy is the activity of everybody. It's not just the activity of the priest. In our church...
Now, when you say the activity of everybody, talk about that a little bit. What?
Well...
Let's say I'm in the fourth pew. How's that my activity?
What we proclaim and believe is, in that fourth pew, Christ is present
okay.
in and to you.
Okay.
Christ is present in your prayer as well as the prayer of the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is present in the word which is proclaimed to you and which is summoning you to a new appreciation of that word.
Okay.
And, of course, Christ is present in the Eucharistic body of Christ,
right.
which when you say amen to that Eucharistic body of Christ, you're saying amen that I'm going to go out from here
mm-hmm.
and be Christ present in our world.
Right.
Fourth pew or 40th pew.
Or behind the altar or behind the pulpit.
Yes.
I think one of the strongest words of liturgy is at the end when we say go, the Mass is ended. It means go out of here and be Christ to the world. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Now, you mentioned that there's been four great documents, liturgy being one of them. Am I right?
Yeah, I would say the four greatest documents are...
This is of Vatican II.
Of two Vatican are liturgy, the church, the ecumenism document on relation to other Christians, and finally, the church in the modern world, Gaudium et Spes.
So those are the four, those are like the foundations on which the council's gift to the world in which we lived. When we come back from a break, can you walk us through those a little bit? And what I'm going to suggest people to do, particularly young adults, is if you haven't, read, scan, find the condensed version, but perhaps the whole thing of each one of those to really get an appreciation of the faith we live in this very contemporary world through the time-honored traditions of Catholicism. We'll be right back. This is Father John Cusick for The Light Show with my dear friend Father Bill O'Shea, and we return in just a minute.
People all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
We're back. This is Father John Cusick, and you're listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with us this morning has been and continues to be Father Bill O'Shea. Bill is the Pastor Emeritus of St. Margaret Mary Parish in the great city of Naperville. It's probably the second largest community in Illinois these days. And we're focusing a little bit this morning with Father O'Shea, who has been doing such wonderful things for us in the world of young adult ministry, helping the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings to learn more about the rich traditions of Catholicism, and in particular some of the things that have impacted the church in its most recent history, and that would be the experience of the Second Vatican Council and how that shapes itself for us today. And when we went to the break, Bill, I mentioned to right at the end there that I would really ask people, wherever they are in their own journey of Catholicism, if they could, through the library or the internet, get a hold of some of these great documents of the Second Vatican Council.
All you have to do is type in Second Vatican Council, and all the documents, all 16 documents would be there.
And of the 16, there's four that you mentioned that are really critical. One is on the church. And the reason, folks, I suggest that we do this is let's actually read the tradition and the teaching of our church through our bishops and through the Holy Father that came out of the council. Every once in a while, for my own benefit, as a citizen of this country, I choose to read the Constitution of the United States. People tell us what it says, but if we haven't looked at it ourselves, we're going to see how sometimes we're off base. I know I am. And to be able to read the Bill of Rights, those first 10 amendments, well, when it comes to our faith, I think the same thing is true, that we've got a body of teaching that is in our catechism. A lot of that came out of the Second Vatican Council.
John, before the council in 1962, there was an article in the New Yorker which said, not much is going to happen at this council. It was written by a man who was called Xavier Rin.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And that was a pseudonym, wasn't it?
It was. It was a priest who was trying to avoid any controversy for his personal life. But I have found it useful in looking at what the teaching is on the church is to look at the first draft that was presented to the bishops and then to look at what really happened.
Okay.
So this is how it started. The nature of the church, militant, military. So the first image you get is battle. The members of the church, militant, and of the need for them to be saved. So who gets saved? Well, it's just us. The third chapter was the episcopate, and then the fourth chapter was about residential bishops. So we had two chapters about bishops. Finally, in chapter 6, you're going to get to the laity. But it was rejected by the bishops. They said, no, this is not the way to start. The way to start with is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So we start with God.
We start with God. And then they moved into Jesus' preaching about the kingdom.
Okay.
They sketched the Old Testament background. They gave images of the church, temple, Jerusalem, body of Christ. The church is holy and yet always in need of being purified.
Okay.
So it's a church filled with sinners, not just good people.
Okay.
That was chapter 1. Then they moved into—
That's all in the first chapter.
That's the first
chapter.
That's
an awful lot different than the church militant.
Yes. Then they moved into the key phrase was the church is the people of God. One of the things we forget is councils are compromises. When they take a vote, and they took many, many votes, the final votes are usually 2,000-8 because they've injected everybody's opinion here. So the dominant mystical body theology, which had led up to the council, was perhaps a little too progressive. But they still said, all of us are in it together. Mm-hmm. Everyone is priest, everyone is prophet, everyone is king, servant. That's what it means to be the people of God.
Okay, just so we don't get people hitting the panic button, that's priest with a small p, and there's priest with a big p in the church,
yes,
too. Okay, I just want to clarify that.
Okay. Then they move into hierarchy, and First Vatican spent a lot of time on the Pope. The mm-hmm. Second Vatican, the question was, are bishops really of divine right?
Okay.
We know the Pope is.
Right.
But was this part of the institution of the church? It had not been defined until the Second Vatican Council.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
They are. Mm-hmm. Bishops are of divine right. The fourth chapter was on the laity.
And we didn't get that till the 1960s.
Correct.
As terms of being defined in the church.
Yes.
But it was always the teaching, and this just brought it all together.
Yes, it did.
Very good. The bishops from around the world
got together and said this. One of the chapters was on the universal call to holiness. Before the council, there were kind of two kinds of Catholics. There were those with the vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience, mm-hmm. and that was a way of perfection. And the rest of us, including us diocesan priests, were in that sort of second class.
Sure.
But the universal call to holiness means that poverty, chastity, and obedience are for all of us.
Right.
Because power, sex, money is an issue for every follower of Jesus.
Okay. So not just the vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, but the spirituality that those things entail.
Yes.
That we are people not to lord it over other people, but through a poverty given to us, in the best sense of the word, by the Lord and the church, we are to be servants of those people.
That's great.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
And it made a big difference when the lay people said, I'm not second class.
Right.
I am called to the same holiness, the same discipleship, the same following of Jesus Christ as any bishop, any religious, and I must take that more seriously.
You know, this leads me to an idea, Father O'Shea, before we go to a break here. There are so many people in our parishes today. I'm on the brink of my 63rd birthday. I'm a Vatican II kid. I'm a kid of the 60s. So many people my age are very active in their parishes because they understood this call of the laity. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to ask you today, as the director of young adult ministry, to help pass the torch to that next generation. Let people know why you are active, but don't say the people coming behind us, they don't care. We have to invite them in to the same call. And the call does not come from our pastor. It comes from the Lord through our bishops, through the Holy Father, through the sense of that we are all a part of this experience to live that in the world. Would that make some sense to you?
Yes, John.
Great. Let's take a break, folks, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to see if Father O'Shea has got a few more brilliant insights inside of himself for today. I know he does. And we'll be right back. This is the Light Show. Father John Cusick, the Young Adult Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, is bringing this to you today.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back. This is Father John Cusick along with Father Bill O'Shea, and we are doing a quick mini course in the theology and the understanding of the Second Vatican Council. Bill, needless to say, we could spend weeks, if not months, on this. The reason I wanted to do this today with you is in working with young adults, it's very important that we get a real good understanding of our faith. And many, many people with whom I am privileged to meet, work, listen to, talk with, pray with, are very hungry about understanding their faith. And one of the things that has been in my lifetime, certainly in your lifetime, in both of our priesthoods and in the church in which we live, that has been a key marker of the way we believe and way we worship is Vatican II. So I just think it's been important to try to get people to get some little bit of an understanding.
I'd like to take a look at the final document for just a moment,
sure.
John. The Pastoral Constitution of the Church in the Modern World.
Okay.
And it begins, "The joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the people of this age, especially those who are poor or in any way afflicted, these two are the joys and hopes, the griefs and anxieties of the followers of Christ. This roots us as part of the world. We're not different. We are the same as every other human person."
And we're not separate. We are a part of this.
And the next thing they say is, "Nothing genuinely human fails to raise an echo in their hearts." That's a quote from a Latin pagan poet.
Wow.
And they were rather deliberate about that. But did you catch that?
Can you give us that line again? Nothing?
Nothing genuinely human fails to raise an echo in their hearts.
Okay.
That nothing human is alien to me is the way the poet Terence put it.
Okay.
And we're saying that's true of us as followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
We're enmeshed in this world. We have the same pain. We have the same hopes. And when we speak to people's pain from our hope, we begin the process of transforming them and of ourselves as well. But notice they said, especially those who are poor. The bishops of South America went home after the council and took that very seriously. And they said, you know, we're going to take a stand with the poor. We had been a church pretty much of the rich, educating the rich, living off the rich. And they said, we're going to make a difference. This led to a tremendous transformation, not only in the life of the church in South America, but in democratic reform as well.
And we are a church of the poor, and we are a church of the rich. We are the church of all of humanity. And I think that's a tremendous insight. We don't ignore anybody.
Right.
And yet we call everybody in Christ to the same mission.
To transform this world. That's what the final document keeps saying to us, that we're not in here as Catholics to save our souls. Everyone is in here to save their souls.
Sure.
Our task is the transformation of the world by being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we live what he said, if we live in that inclusive fashion, we are going to make a difference.
Sure. I've always, not always, but many times, Bill, as you might guess, in working with younger people, the question is put to them. A lot of times on college campuses, a lot of times when they move into an area, are you saved? And this is a very important question, and obviously it's a question that really comes off of one of the other sects of Christianity. And I think a lot of times there's a panic in people. Oh, gee, am I saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And then sometimes people can give you the date, time, and the place when that's occurred to them. I've always thought that the Catholic question, just as you are saying, is another one. Not that the "are you saved" is not important, because we are. I mean, that's Christ. The other one is, do you realize that you are on to bring Christ's salvation to the world?
Yeah, I think that's
a critical question.
I think the question is, am I making a difference?
Right.
We'll let salvation be God's work, but making a difference can be ours.
Well, the understanding of life given to me by the Lord, can I take that to the world? Can I take it to my work? Can I take it into my relationships? Can I take it to the health club? Can I take it to where I choose to live my life in order to literally be a sign, a sacrament of Christ in the world?
Yeah. Is God present and active,
right,
in your work,
right,
in your health club? Yes, he is.
Right.
And if you can name that presence and activity for yourself and for those around you, that's how you begin to transform yourself in the world.
That's right. And so it's not pulling us out of the world, but jumping. It's like a big swimming pool. Jump right in.
Yes.
And bring that message to do good work, to be graceful in our lives. And that's not just being nice people. We are missionaries. That's what it means to be a disciple. And I truly believe that's what it means to be Catholic in this world.
Yes, going therefore teach all nations.
Right. And part of that nation is where people find themselves on this particular day in their life, in the world in which they live. And that always, that's been just very important to me. And based on that, what I find, getting back to where you began focusing on liturgy, liturgy is what gives me the vision, refocuses the drive, fills me with the presence of Christ through Eucharist and through the Word of God and through the people who are there to give it a crack one more week.
Right.
And so when young adults say to me, well, you know, Father, why do we got to go to church every week? And my best answer right now, and it takes some unpacking, is, you know why? So we don't forget who we are. And I think if we know who we are, gathered together in the Lord's name and the mission we are on, then we have to keep reaffirming that with some kind of a consistent basis.
I put it this way, John, groups have very short memories.
Right.
And yet each week we hear Jesus say, do this in memory of me.
Right, memory. Don't forget, folks. Don't have a brain freeze. This is what we're really all about. And I always found it interesting. One of my great mentors in our diocese, Father Leo Mann, once said, and I'm he said, you know why our ancestors created weekly worship? And that, so they believed they couldn't keep a significant promise longer than 7 days. That's the memory thing.
That's exactly right.
You know, and you come together to be a reminder that we have a covenant with God. God leads us.
One of the objections to the way we do it is we say, let us call to mind our sins. We need to remember that, don't we?
Right, and we need to get those out of the way that they don't define our lives. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back, and I've got one last question for Father O'Shea, but prior to that, I want to share some wonderful things going on in the world of young adult ministry and how you or any young adults you know can learn more about that. We'll be right back. Father John Cusick and Father Bill O'Shea here on The Light Show, AM 950, Relevant Radio.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Do you want to experience freedom, happiness, love, and romance without regrets? Then come hear Jason Everett speak at the Life Night 4 Youth Rally on Sunday, September 14th. At St. Francis of Rome School in Cicero, starting at 4 p.m. The evening will include Jason's powerful message, music by Sal Solo, free food, and much more.
The Life Night 4 Youth Rally is for high school students and mature 8th graders. For more information and to pre-register, please call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355. Or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. Sponsored by the Respect Life Office, Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry, and the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center of Chicago. So again, please join us on Sunday, September 14th at St. Francis of Rome School, starting at 4 p.m. to hear Jason Everett, because
we deserve pure love.
John Cusick, along with Father Bill O'Shea, and we've been focusing on ecumenical councils, and in particular, the one that has been most influential in the church of the modern day, and that's the Second Vatican Council. And I've done this today, Bill, as I mentioned earlier on in our time together today, because I want young adults to have a richer understanding of their faith. And there's a curiosity out there. What's this all about? And I can't thank you enough for helping us with that. What I'd like to do before we go off the air today is share with those of you who are listening some ways that if you are a young adult yourself in your 20s and 30s, whether you are married or single, or perhaps you are their parent, or maybe you are their grandparent, a way of giving them a connectivity to our local church here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And the best way to do that, probably, because they are such a, Bill, as you know, technologically driven part of our society, is to go to our website, which is www.yamchicago.org. Now, on that website, you have a little place on the opening page where you can add people's email addresses, and they will get from us, free of charge, twice a month, an email that outlines some of the activities for going on for young adults across the Chicago area. And we even are gracious enough, Father O'Shea, to reach out to the Diocese of Joliet and even share a lot of things that are going on in DuPage County, Will County, Kendall County, and all the places that are a part.
Inclusivity, John.
I'll tell you, you can't. Ecumenical, in the best sense of the word, worldwide. So that's yamchicago.org. And also, if you would like to give us a call at the Young Adult Ministry office, and maybe give us someone's name, either street address or email address or whatever, if you do not have access to a computer, just give us a call at 312-466-9473. That's the Young Adult Ministry office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, 312-466-9473. One of the events that's coming up, actually, it's coming up on September 11th, and that's the Yacht Club Northwest. Yacht is an invention of Kate DeVries, Young Adult Catholics Hanging Together, YACHT. And tomorrow, the Yacht Club Northwest will gather at dinner at 6:30 and a little chat and a wonderful talk at 7:30. It'll be at Emmett's Ale House. That's at 110 North Brockway Street in Palatine. And Mary Dealey will be the featured speaker on September 11th. Mary is on staff at the, not the Calvert House, she's on staff of the Shield Center at the Northwestern University. That's the Catholic Student Center. And Mary has a Master of Divinity from Yale, a PhD in Hebrew Scripture and Early Christian Literature from Northwestern. And she's just a wonderful person, and her topic on September 11th is Catholicism, boring, irrelevant, untrue, and she's there to give some wonderful insights into Catholicism for people who are going to gather at the Northwest Yacht Club at Emmett's Ale House in Palatine. Call your attention that there's a Catholic open house for young adults, and it's sponsored by Caris Ministries. And it's also co-sponsored by the Diocese of Joliet Young Adult Ministry, Catholics on Call, St. Alphonsus, and the Respect Life Office Junior Board. And this is for recent grads or grad students who may be new to the Chicago area or moving back. Caris Ministries and 14 other young adult-friendly Catholic parishes and organizations will be at this Catholic open house from 4:30 to 7:30 at the Arc Cafe on September 28th. And before we go off the air today, folks, if you're listening to this live, this is September 10th. Tomorrow is September 11th. And about this time, 9:58 local time in year 2001, we hit one of the watermarks and greatest tragedies that has affected the United States of America. On 9/11, say a prayer. Go to church. Do what you can to be a Catholic in the modern world, to live a peaceful life. May we find a way to be a healing presence in this God's world. May we let no terrorist, no terror, no fear possess us. May we be God's grace in this world. And on 9/11, might we pray for those who lost their life as a victim of the horrible violence in a modern world. May we pray for our military. We pray for those overseas. We pray for our religious and civic leaders that they can lead us and guide us beyond what we have seen in horror to God's kingdom of everlasting peace and love. Thank you for being with us today. And Father O'Shea, thank you so much for the great wisdom you brought to the table today.
Amen, John.
And may God be a blessing in all of our lives.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.